It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, the host of the program, and I just appreciate you joining me each and every day for this 15 minutes where we just take time out to study God's Word. And I want to share with you some fresh oil, something that'll brighten your day. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Apostle Paul gives us a very sobering passage. He says this, "And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Now, friend, I believe the Holy Spirit is sounding an alarm across America today. We're living in very incredible times. We're living in prophetic times that the Bible speaks of. The recent assassination of Charlie Kirk was a very sobering thing for me to realize that someone who really spoke into this generation the way he did was taken out and assassinated. And yet God has turned that into a revival that's shaking this nation right now with young people all across the land. And I believe with peace being signed in the Middle East, the Bible speaks very firmly that one of the things that will begin the end, the beginning of the end, is a peace treaty that will be signed with Israel. And friend, we are seeing that take place right before our very eyes. We can't sleep through this moment. We can't doze through this hour in church history. The future of our children and our grandchildren depends on what the church does right now. Friend, I believe America is asleep at the wheel. In Romans chapter 13, he says, "The night is far spent, yet so many are spiritually drowsy today." In Jesus' teaching to the disciples in Matthew 25, he gives a parable about 10 virgins. He said that the church will be like these 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom to return. 5 were wise. They had oil for their lamps. 5 were foolish. They looked the same as the wise. They just didn't have oil in their lamps. I believe it's the religious and the righteous. They all look the same, but the righteous will have oil in their lamps, the Holy Spirit. Our pulpits are often silent when they should be thundering with truth. Our culture celebrates sin today, sexual confusion, lawlessness, and the dismantling of the family. But Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good." It's like a driver nodding off at the wheel and doesn't see the head-on collision that's about to kill them. Just a moment of sleep in the wrong lane, and it's all over. And I believe it's time for America to wake up. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John chapter 8 and verse 32. Today, truth itself is under attack. We've witnessed the cultural assassination of truth. In schools, truth about gender and biology, it's not taught. They're being lied to. In politics today, truth about honesty and integrity, it's so lacking. In churches today, truth about sin and holiness. Pastors today are afraid to speak truth, afraid they will lose people. You know, friend, the enemy doesn't just want to silence truth. He wants to bury it. But you can't bury what God has raised from the dead. Woke ideology and the counterfeit gospel is on the scene everywhere today. It preaches acceptance without repentance. It preaches identity without Christ. It preaches justice without righteousness. And it's not the gospel of grace. It's another gospel that Paul warned us about in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. And he tells us, "If anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel, let him be cursed." Can you imagine a doctor refusing to tell a patient that they have cancer because it might hurt their feelings? That's what woke ideology does today, friend. It hides the truth that can set us free. And America has been in decline, but I truly believe God is moving today in an amazing way. We're starting to see something break loose in this land. In Romans 13, he said, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber." The church can't be silent any longer. The church can't be passive. In Ephesians 5 and verse 14, Paul said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." You know, when an alarm clock rings, you don't debate it, you respond. And God is ringing heaven's alarm clock all across America today, and it's time for us to respond. What do we got to do? We have to cast off darkness. Revival requires repentance. We must repent of compromise, pornography in our land, gossip, division, prayerlessness. We can't call America the holiness if the church is living in sin. You know, before a soldier goes into battle, what does he do? He takes off civilian clothes and he puts on his armor. He puts on his uniform. And we must put off compromise and put on the full armor of God. God calls it the armor of light in our text today. Truth, righteousness, prayer, the word, and faith. See, we're not fighting flesh and blood. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he tells us you don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The answer, friend, is not found in politics, even though policies matter. But the answer is found in revival in the people of God. He said in Chronicles, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven that he'll heal our land." You know, the first great awakening shook colonial America and it prepared the way for freedom. The second great awakening brought millions to Christ and it fueled abolition of slavery. Every revival began when the church realized we cannot go on like this. Something has to change. Friend, if America is to see revival today, it won't come from the White House. It'll come from God's house. I believe that with all of my heart, that revival is our only hope in America. 2 Chronicles 7:14 that I just alluded to, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." God's not looking at Washington. He's not looking to Hollywood to change our world. He's not looking to Wall Street to bring financial blessing in our life. He's looking to his people. When I was 17 years old, I toured England and Wales, and when I was in Wales, I found out about the Welsh Revival of 1904. You know what, friend? It was amazing. It literally shut down taverns. It emptied out the jails, and it filled churches. Judges didn't have any cases to try because crime was non-existent. Why? Because revival fell upon that land, and it wasn't politics, friend. It was prayer. In Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 34, the Bible says this, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." See, if America doesn't wake up, it'll face the judgment of God. We're seeing the unraveling already, division, violence, confusion, hostility towards God. But God has given us a prophetic promise found in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. God said, "I'm going to pour out my spirit in the last days upon all flesh." We could see another great awakening if God's people pray, if we repent and we believe. America's greatest need today is not a new policy, not a new agenda or a new program or a new president. America's greatest need today is revival. For America to turn their hearts towards God, for us to wake up from compromise, to wake up from fear, and to wake up from silence. Friend, it's time for us to pray, to weep, to cry out until heaven sends revival our way. Years ago, along the rocky shores of Maine, there stood an old lighthouse, and its keeper had one assignment: keep the lamp burning through every storm. One night, a violent squall hit. The winds were howling, and the keeper ran low on oil. And instead of saving what little he had for the beacon, He used it to keep his small little cabin warm. And by morning, a ship had crashed on the rocks, and lives were lost. When the investigation came, the keeper said, "I was cold." And the inspector replied, "You were not appointed to keep yourself warm. You were appointed to keep the light burning." Church, that's us. God didn't call us to stay comfortable. He didn't call us to retreat to our cabin. He called us to shine. Because America's coastlines are littered with shipwrecked souls because too many lighthouses have gone dark. I believe our churches are lighthouses in our community. Let me give you three final points in closing today. First of all, it's time to wake up in prayer. Revival doesn't begin in Washington. Like I said, it begins in a prayer closet. Every great move of God has started when ordinary people fell on their knees and they cried, "God, send revival and let it begin with me." If we'll bend our knees in private, God will stand tall in public, friend. Secondly, stand up in courage. The hour demands spiritual backbone. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul said this. He said, "Having done all to stand, stand firm then." See, courage doesn't mean we never feel fear. It just means we obey God anyway. We must speak truth in love, even when the culture conceals it, because the gospel cannot be silenced by hashtags. And then thirdly, look up in hope. Romans 13 says, "Our salvation is near now than when we first believed." Don't lose hope, friend. Satan wants you to lose hope and lose heart. But God has not abandoned America. The same Jesus who walked out of the tomb still walks into broken nations, and he breathes life again. When the darkness gets thicker, it only means that the dawn is getting closer. So keep the light burning. Don't trade your oil for comfort, friend. Don't dim your flame for approval. Let your heart be ablaze until the Spirit begins sweeping through this land once again. Wake up, America, because the King is coming. Wake up, church, because your assignment is not finished. Wake up, saints, because revival fire is still possible today. You know, friend, in ancient Israel, every morning a priest climbed the wall of Jerusalem and lifted a silver trumpet. And when he blew, the sound echoed through every valley. And it meant the night was over and the day had come. People would rise, open their shutters, and say, "A new day has begun." I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now across this nation. He's sounding the trumpet. He's saying the night of moral confusion has gone on long enough, and the day of awakening, it's here. But that trumpet doesn't just sound in the sky, friend. It's got to sound in the hearts of believers all across this land. And that's what God wants to do today, is he wants to use you and I to sound the revival call across this nation. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil. I so appreciate it each and every day being able to share with you the good news of God's grace. Walk in grace.
What does it really mean to be in Christ? The Bible declares, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." In his new book, In Him, The Mystery of Christ in You, author and pastor Keith Manley takes you on a powerful journey through Scripture to discover your true identity, security, and destiny in Christ. You'll learn how to live free from condemnation, walk in victory, and rest in the promises of God, not by striving, but by abiding in Him. Whether you're new in the faith or longing for deeper understanding, this book will open your eyes to the life-changing reality of Christ in you.
My new book, In Him, The Mystery of Christ in You, is available now on Amazon.com in paperback, hardcover, or the Kindle ebook. Get your copy today.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.